the EFL. It's the Football League podcast. Looking forward to getting back to league business. Coming up, Parker speaks, Muslic motivates, and Lolos leaves Sadler's Sadler sore. Powered by Quinbet, this is What the EFL. Ah, come on in, listener. Welcome to our weekly Football League chat. We are here to talk through everything from the FA Cup to League Two and plenty in between. It's me, Matt Davis-Adams. I'm joined by Adrian Clark. How are you doing, Clarky?
Oh, I'm great. Yeah, I'm absolutely pumped. Obviously, after listening to the Miron Muslic, you know, introductory chat to the players, just fully motivated for the rest of the week. Ready to go. I bet.
We're going to hear some of that shortly. So if you haven't heard it, listener, be prepared to be inspired. Sam Parkin's back with us too. You okay, Sam?
I'm good. I get annoyed when people in football broadcasting talk about the weather and being hard done by being outside. But my God, my toes have just come back. And I've spent the last 48 hours trying to buy some sensible socks and footwear because I've just not come prepared for this winter. And I bought myself some Nike trainers. So it's going to continue. From this. I had the tea bags down there, the feet warmers, two pairs of thermal socks, my boots, which should be warm on the gantry at Walsall. That didn't happen for me. It was painful, seriously painful.
Yeah, I went walking boots on Saturday for the first time and it did make a big difference. So yeah, listen, if you're off to a game this weekend, try the same.
Substance over style, it's got to be in it.
Oh mate, the boots I wear are horrific. I bought them for Lapland last year when we went there, but they're just magnificent, but they look terrible.
I'm still a cardboard box punter. Yeah, I take some
cereal
packets and put it under my... I put it in the back of my bag, just behind the laptops. It fits nicely. And when I'm leaving the house, I think, oh, yeah, I'm really well prepared here. And I always forget to get it out. Forget to get the Cheerio packet out.
Tell us how you stay warm at the football. At EFL What That on X is the place to find us. Right, before we get into it, let me remind you that our partners Quinbet have a new offer. You can now get 50% back up to £35 and 10 free spins. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £35, minimum three bets, plus 10 free online casino spins at Quin Casino. Even if your account is up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet plus 10 free spins provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18 plus for new UK customers only. Visit gambleaware.org for information on responsible gambling. All right, we're going to start today by rounding up the best of the FA Cup sets. And I think the pick of them was at the G-Tech Stadium where Plymouth beat Brentford of the Premier League. Plymouth, who've been stinking up the Championship away from home. Brentford, who've been pretty much impenetrable on their own patch. He took a wonder goal to get the job done here. Sam, it's clearly not their priority, but it can only be a good thing to win a game like that, especially when you've got a new manager coming in. And they get the reward of hosting Liverpool in round four.
Yeah, brilliant tie for them to look forward to. Rolled the dice a little bit when you look at the side that was put out. Obviously, a lot spoken about the Premier League changes that they inevitably make, and that was the case with Thomas Frank. But the Argyle team was interesting. Young lad, given a game in midfield, Michael Badua up top. Some different personnel, slightly different shape maybe than they've been accustomed to. Similar pattern in that they had to weather some storms and... yeah, I think they actually limited Brentford pretty well throughout. And that was despite Brentford obviously putting on their big guns late on. And probably some annoyance maybe in Wayne Rooney's front room, seeing Morgan Whittaker do that, because he's been on the periphery of many a game this season, much to the frustration, I think, of management and probably supporters at times this year. So brilliant goal. I heard Clarkey lambasting Whissa for his defensive tracking on another podcast. And he'd be right. Because that was very amusing.
It was so bad.
That is a typical striker not really wanting to be back there and not really knowing what to do when he's back there. Yeah, it was very, very odd. But a brilliant goal and brilliant celebrations. I listened to it on the radio on the way back down the M40 and thoroughly enjoyed it. And they deserve a little bit of luck. And they've got a great cup tie to look forward to. And they look like they've got a very scary manager to rival Nathan Jones and Alex Neil and whoever else you're scared of, Matt, that I've forgotten.
Quite possibly. Well, Kevin Nanchkeville was in caretaker charge for this one. He's referenced in the clip that we're about to hear. He said that the players felt some guilt over Wayne Rooney's departure, and that helped inspire their shock win at Brentford. I'm not sure that's going to help Rooney feel any better about it. But anyway, Miron Muslic is the man who's in charge now. They've got a game against Oxford tonight as we record. He was most recently the boss of Circle of Bruges, and going on his introductory speech to the Plymouth players, he's quite the motivator. Let's hear a bit of that now.
Good morning, lads. Good to be here. Very good to be here. There are moments in life and moments on the football pitch where the heat is on and the pressure is on. People just disappear, run away, hide. Other people like Nance stepping up. That's courage. That impresses me a lot. Everything I will demand from you, I will give you every single day 24/7. Then it's easy for me to sell this, because I will give you everything. I will be straight and honest towards my communication. And this is my right as a head coach. This is the right for us as staff. But as human beings, you are untouchable. I will never cross that line. I give you my word. So I'm very much looking forward for everything that's in front of us. And we're gonna face this with a big heart, with conviction, with courage, and everything will be fine.
Clarky, I love this. You said on Twitter that you were impressed by it too. I mean, I guess it depends on your personality type, but do all players buy into this kind of thing? Would there have been some rolling their eyes at it, or is everybody sort of up on the tables, Dead Poets Society style at the end of the speech?
No, I don't think it's like that. Look, I didn't think it was too Partridge. I think if certain managers can take it too far and players will just take the piss.
He's clearly got charisma, back. This guy, hasn't he? The way he delivered it.
I thought he delivered it really nicely, actually. It was serious, but all the key messages were there, weren't they, at the forefront? I think he hit the right notes. He'd obviously done lots of homework as well. There's a little bit of a gag in there with Joe Edwards running on. You know, there's a bit of personality to it. So I didn't think there was anything in there that if I was a player, I'd have thought, oh, this guy's an egg. I would have thought, yeah, I'm liking the cut of this guy's jib. So, yeah, let's see. Let's see. He had a good record, didn't he, at Circle of Bruges up until this season where it all went wrong. And he did actually get sacked. So let's see. But I think, you know, it's a good start, isn't it? And for me, the key is compactness. The team is not compact, or it wasn't under Wayne Rooney. It was at the weekend, which is great, limiting Brentford to just 9 shots. But we've got to give Adam Randall a bit more help in that central midfield, in my opinion. Can't do it all on his own. So, yeah, let's see how they go.
Not loads of shocks elsewhere, but a notable one on Humberside where Grant McCann got one over his old club as Doncaster beat Hull on penalties. McCann said, I'm pleased for the players and the effort they put in. I'm pleased for the fans and I'm pleased for the football club. Sam, I put that through Google Translate and it came back as ha 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 F you Hull. You must have absolutely loved that.
Yeah, I didn't actually think of that when I was watching the highlights the other day. But yeah, I think we all felt that Doncaster may run away with it. Such was their early season form in the league. I think they won 4 of their first 5 games. I remember seeing them, you know, in the late summer, and they were really impressive. And Luke Molyneux, the goal scorer, was a big part of that. And he's been a little bit off colour in contrast to how he started the season. So a big goal for him. Ryan Giles with a mistake. They rode their luck. That's certainly the case. The goalkeeper, Sharman Lowe, looked definitely the busier of the two, and could have seen red as well for an incident in the second half. So they had a bit of good fortune, but get through, and yeah, he would have really enjoyed it, and he will hope a catalyst. They're still there, you know, they're not far off the automatic positions in the table, so still got a really good opportunity like last year of getting in the mix. So yeah, I'm sure he would have been thrilled by it. And on a weekend, a little bit sparse of shocks, this certainly qualifies.
It definitely qualifies. I saw them in the previous round beat Kettering. So yeah, got a little, you know, they're actually the lowest ranked side left in the competition, which is...
Might mean they get on telly, Crystal Palace at home in the next round.
Maybe. It stinks of ITV4, doesn't it? You know, it's not going to be on one of the main channels. But they got a chance. On Hull, very quickly, Ruben Selesh, I wonder if he thought about the pitch before he took the gig. So he's a guy that loves passing football, wants to get the players moving on the deck. It's a bad pitch, isn't it?
First pitch to go in it, really.
Yeah, it's and the rugby starts soon. The Super League in I think there are three more home games. Then it's the Super League. So yeah, that's they've got to sort that out with Sellers, I think, as the manager. Because I think if any team needs a good pitch, I think it's one of his teams.
Work for him to do then. Elsewhere, League One Exeter beat Championship side Oxford 3-1 at St James's Park. I guess, Clarkie, not the end of the world for Oxford. They've got different priorities this season. Do you give Exeter any chance against the Premier League champions-elect Nottingham Forest in the next round?
No, not really. Because I think, why wouldn't Forest sort of go for a cup run this year? They've got a chance. They haven't sort of threatened it for many years, have they? I mean, you can put me
last
right
one
on that
in 1959 when Elton John's cousin scored one of the goals and then broke.
When was the last time they made it to a semi? I mean, it feels like a long time ago. So yeah, but well played Oxford. There's some good goals, wasn't there, in this game? A couple of nice finishes from Dimitri Mitchell, and the last goal was a cracker. Was it Harper who scored it, I think? Lovely build up play and they finished it with aplomb. Yeah, Rowett made eight changes, Exeter made one, so that evened it up, didn't it? But yeah, I do think Exeter's it's funny ground, isn't it? I do think it's quite, a little bit intimidating sometimes. I think it's quite a good atmosphere when they've got these big games on Exeter. So Forest might not find it easy.
No, a lot of supporters who are really looking forward to going there. Forest haven't played Exeter since the 1950s. Another Championship side who fell at the hands slash feet of League One Oppo were Portsmouth, beaten 2-0 at Wickham. Sam, this one of those shocks that's actually not really much of a shock given how their respective seasons are going.
No, I think that's fair. And Portsmouth, as Clarkie just said, on Oxford, inevitably make the more changes. That said, you know, Wickham are pretty well stocked to do likewise. I think the players that came in for Wickham did really well. Butcher in midfield, Skura, a centre-half who must be from my neck of the woods because he used to play for Hanworth Villa and Kingstonian. Another one that Wickham have plucked. He was alongside Sonny Bradley at the heart of the defence, who scored, obviously, Bradley, and did really well. And the players that came in for Pompey, not going to have the option of going banging on John Messino's door, I would suggest. So limp was their performance after a couple of bright opening minutes where they had a scramble where they could have scored, could have gone in front, but it looked relatively comfortable the way this one played out. And obviously the bigger story, the bigger news is the potential of Wickham losing their manager. Which could be incredibly disrupting at this stage. But yeah, really good cup win, really good pedigree. Hopefully I'll get rolled out to talk about Wickham's exploits in previous FA Cup runs, fourth round. That is my domain. Disappointed they didn't get Wolves at home. That was who I bludgeoned all those years ago.
We all remember it well. So yeah, Sam's alluding to the fact there that, I mean, we're recording this on Tuesday morning. Obviously something's going to happen as soon as I publish the podcast. But Matt Bloomfield has been heavily linked with Luton, who I saw lose against Forest on Saturday. Be an interesting one if he does make the move, Adrian, won't it? Because I guess there's half a chance that one team could be in League One and one team could be in the Championship, and he might make the wrong move if Luton go down and Wickham go up. But they have got a lot of money from a year in the Premier League, so if they survive, I guess you think long term wise the prospects are better at Kenilworth Road than Adams Park.
Yeah, it's a bigger club, and it's they've got more cash, they've got stronger players, haven't they? I think that's fair to say. Yeah, it's hard for him to turn down the opportunity, I'd imagine. Geographically, it's not a huge distance either for him. Yeah, it ticks a lot of boxes. Luton are a nice club. They've got a nice ownership. They've just had a really nice manager. And I think that the team probably would respond well to another sort of articulate young manager that's sort of a bit of a thinker, the someone just a fresh voice, but not someone that's a polar opposite of Rob Edwards. I think that's quite a good fit. He's obviously going to be hungry. He's making his way as a manager. You know, so far it's upward trajectory. Gets the job right at Luton. Matt Bloomfield suddenly puts himself into the territory of top end championship, you know, best young coach, one of the best young coaches in English football category, doesn't he? If he gets it right. So, he's earned it because Wickham have done great. Absolutely superb. And I think the style of football is not a massive departure, is it, from Wickham? So feels like quite a good fit. I don't know what Sam thinks.
Yeah, I agree with Clarkie, really. I think given that the style at Wickham has been evolving, but still I think it's all about the culture that Gareth Ainsworth obviously created previously, and Bloomfield's taken that on, and he wants those characteristics with his players: fight, attitude, character, all those things. Yet I think he has tried to put a few different stamps on the style of play. They've got some good footballers, Wickham, so that he'll inherit that at Luton. So I think there's a bit of a mixture there. Obviously, Gary Sweet, who will be leading up the appointment, I would suggest, really good person. Even when you watch the way that he conducted himself during the presser, which ultimately was about Rob Edwards leaving, you know, you can see that the way the club is, you know, and I think that Matt Bloomfield will be a really good fit there. The one thing I will say is the greatest success and the most successful period for Luton latterly, certainly across the last decade, has been under Nathan Jones, who's very different maybe from these two guys, very intense. And that was about a kind of siege mentality, kind of all about aggression. And Luton have gone away from that. So I suppose it's getting that balance right, isn't it? Because I think that the Luton fans have missed that this season and thought that the robust approach and the uncompromising home support and ground and all those things was what made the essence of Luton so successful over the last few years. So he's going to have to find that balance. But I think in the main, it's really interesting, and I wish him well because he's a really good guy. Friend of the pod.
Yeah. Well, if it does happen, good luck. If not, I'll probably just cut all that bit out of the podcast. Before we get on to our previews, I wanted to have a chat about a couple of transfers that have caught the eye. Clarky, you wanted to mention a man who's taken that well-trodden path from Real Salt Lake to Hull.
Yeah, I mean, it's there are so many of these transfers, aren't there, from Salt Lake into Humberside. And yeah, look, Matt Crooks, undisclosed fee. I don't know how much they've paid for him, but I wouldn't have said it's a typical Ruben Selle signing, really. But what he's a really versatile, strong player. Did pretty well, didn't he, for Middlesbrough, sort of as a midfielder slash striker slash number 10. You know, he's someone that crashes the box, basically, isn't he? And he can score goals. And what Hull really do lack at the moment is championship experience at the top end of the pitch. So I can see him being beneficial. But at first glance, maybe not what you'd say an expected fit for Ruben Selles. But yeah, he's got pedigree.
3 goals in 29 games for Real.
Yeah,
Salt
not
Lake.
Great.
Maybe it just didn't suit him. Sam, I've totally forgotten the one that you told me about just before we started recording. So surprise me.
Yeah, that just happened in the last kind of 48, 72 hours. Tom Nichols from Mansfield, part of their promotion last season. Kind of well-travelled Tom Nichols now. He was just a whippersnapper when I played alongside him my final year at Exeter. So, yeah, I've said it a few times, but part of the reason that I retired, he was much better than me in his first year, in my last year, certainly playing as the solo front man, all action. And I think he was a really good finisher, you know, early on in his career. And I think his goal return echoed that. And I think he's become more than that. And maybe that's been to the detriment a little bit of his goal scoring numbers, but he contributes in so many other ways. He's a good foil for a kind of more statuesque centre forward, which they've got in someone like Harry Smith, who will, you know, stay within the confines of the 18-yard box and occupy centre halves. Tom Nichols can do the dirty work, essentially, run the channels. He can come short and link it. And he gives them a different option and more firepower. Swindon, who are, you know, despite a poor result, I think, last time out against Notts County, sorry, and they drew subsequently against Crewe, not a bad point. There's been a bit of an upturn there, and I see him, and I've been saying it probably for 4 or 5 years now, pretty good lead two striker who should add some quality to their front line.
Give us a couple more then, Clarky.
Yeah, Sunderland made a good one, haven't they? Enzo Lafee.
Everybody's going mad about this. I can't say I ever heard about him, but I'm amazed there's been no headlines of Sunderland agree Lafee.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's a no-brainer, isn't it? Look, I just, with the EFL and the Premier League, I don't have time to watch much Continental League football. But, you know, he's been sold for big money in the past. You know, so Ren bought him for €20 million last summer. Before that, he'd gone for around a similar fee. And what they've done here, they've loaned him in with an obligation to buy if they go to the Premier League. So, and it'll cost them about 16 million quid if they go into the top flight. He's a technical midfielder. He can do a bit of everything, I believe. You know, I haven't seen a lot of him. He's diminutive, but he's a good, neat and tidy passer. He can win the ball. He can travel with it. I think he's a perfect fit for Regis Lebris, who worked with him, basically, at the club in France where he came from.
Lorient,
that's it. Yeah, thanks for bailing me out. Lorient. Yeah, he worked with him there, so he knows the player. Yeah, just a good all-round midfielder. Now, the question is it going to be supplementing what Dan Neil and Joe Bellingham are doing, or is he coming to replace Joe Bellingham? That is the question, I think, you know, because obviously there are a lot of people that want him. The other one that stood out to me was Joel Randall. He's gone to Bolton from Peterborough United. They wanted him in the summer, couldn't get the deal done. And I think he wanted the move. Saw a lot of his teammates, Joel Randall, get moves in the summer. I don't think he ever really got over the disappointment. I think he fell out for a brief period with the manager, Darren Ferguson. It's not been a happy sort of season so far for Posh in general. And it seems that he was desperate to make this move. All I'll say, and he suits Ian Everett's style of play. He'll play as one of those sort of eights that really join in with the attacks. They'll have a lot of the ball, Bolton. So I think it's a move that's good for him. But is it a good time to make a move to join Ian Everett? Because there's every chance he'll get the sack. You know, if they don't improve their results, I think he could go. So, yeah, that would have been in my mind if I was in Randall's shoes. I might have waited.
Yeah, it's always a risk, I guess, isn't it? Well, the window is still open. I'm sure we'll be doing more transfer chat next week. But next today, we're going to turn our attention to the weekend's games. And in the Championship, two of the promotion chasers meet at Turf Moor as Burnley put their unbeaten home record on the line against the Sunderland side, who've only won one of their last seven on the road. Adrian caught up with Burnley boss Scott Parker after the Clarets win at Reading in the Cup. Here's what he's made of his team's new start to the season.
I wouldn't have probably expected it to have gone as well as it is, and that's full credit to the group. What have, somehow we've managed to get a group together that have gelled instantly. There's still loads of improvement here. What went on in the summer here was things what I've never seen before. I think we turned over 18 players, loads of new players coming in. I didn't expect it to go and click as quickly as it is. We've still got loads of areas to improve, as you know, denying, but full credit for us to be where we are and doing what we've done so far this season has been massive, but there's still a long way to go, mate.
Well, they've brought Ashley Barnes back. Clarkey asked if that was that in terms of January business. This is what Parker had to say.
There could be a possibility there. There's maybe we're open to try and look to see what else we can add. Maybe some go out as well. Obviously, a few have gone at the moment as well. So it's definitely an area where we're looking to try and strengthen in general, really, in that attacking half.
Well, that was a nice interview. Adrian, I always like it when somebody calls you by your name when you're interviewing them. It's a nice, easy way for a manager to get a bit of capital with the interviewer, isn't it, I think? How did you find him and what did you make of Burnley at the weekend?
Yeah, he was nice. Yeah, he's very nice. I mean, he's wearing one of those sort of crazy bomber jackets, you know, with all the branding on. You know, he's just trendy, isn't he? He's got his own style, but he's really nice. Yeah, he was friendly. I didn't really get much chance to chat to him, but I did pick up on that myself, that he sort of, used my name a couple of times, which, I think is just personable. It's friendly, isn't it? And do you know what? I've heard a lot of people praise Scott Parker as a bloke. I think he is. I think he is a good guy.
Well, you think back to that interview he did at the playoff final, the lockdown one, and then it got made into the brilliant Streets video. But yeah, he was putting his heart out there, wasn't he? Pouring his heart.
I think he's a good person, and he's a really good manager. You got to say, he referenced it there. He basically was saying it was carnage in the summer in terms of all the players that left. So that's why I asked him the question. It's like, you know, you must be delighted considering what happened, where you are at. And yeah, he was full of praise for the players and the way they've adapted. But, you know, it's partly his coaching as well. They play good football. I was really impressed with the switches of play that they did in this game against Reading. I mean, they made a lot of changes. They made 11, actually, but it was still a very recognisable 11. So they've got a lot of depth. Zian Fleming come off the bench to make the difference. He's obviously a man in form. Ashley Barnes didn't really do anything. Ran around a lot, but he didn't impact the game. So he won't start against Sunderland. Lyle Foster might. He was really good on the left-hand side. Not playing up front, he went on the left, and I thought he looked good there. Colioscio was bright as well. I just wanted to flag up a little mini scouting report as well on two Burnley youngsters, Tommy McDermott, 19, Joe Bowers, 18. He went with those two as his central midfield. Neither had started for Burnley before. Very composed, looked completely at ease. One and two touch football. There's the odd little pirouette, switch of play. They received the ball under pressure. Both players got forward and had shots in the game as well. It wasn't just sitting there making the easy passes. They went and tried to affect the game as well. So, yeah, I think that McDermott and Barris have put themselves in the frame to be the backups, you know, to the guys that are in, you know, in the first team picture on a weekly basis. So, yeah, let's see what happens with Burnley. But I would make them favourites to win against Sunderland. I think they will score more goals in the second half of the season. He knows that's what they've got to do, and I believe that it will come. Look, they've actually won the same number of games as Sunderland, 14, but they've let in 9 and Sunderland have let in 22. That's the difference. I like Burnley. I think they will finish top two.
For Sunderland, Sam, this is the start of a run of 3 or 4 games away from home. Are they going to have to get a bit better on the road, do you think, if they're going to either threaten the automatic places or maintain their playoff push, or if they remain unbeatable on their own patch, is that going to be enough?
I'm glad you made that point, because this is only their third away game against a team in the top 10. So they were beaten at Sheffield United, if you remember, narrowly, and they lost 2-1 at Watford. So they've still got to go to Burnley, Leeds, Norwich, Middlesbrough, West Brom, Bristol City, Sheffield Wednesday, by my money. So it's going to be a hell of an achievement if they can keep pace with the big guns in the table. I think he's done amazing, the manager. I think having lost so many players at different times this season and been able to navigate kind of the Christmas period and still be there, not lost in 8 since that defeat at Sheffield United. They're going brilliantly well, and I said on last week's podcast, if they can add the right characters and players in this window, you never know. But I think, you know, realistically it's probably going to be playoffs, which would still be a brilliant campaign for them. He rotated heavy against Stoke in the cup. He lost at least to what looks like possibly a serious injury. So it comes with that, obviously, risk factor. There's not going to be a great deal between these two sides. I've probably said that when we're previewing every Burnley game. I think it'll be low scoring. And I expect Sunderland to be really competitive and fascinated to see how he goes with the team. Does Enzo Lufi come in? Does he go with Mayenda and Isidore, which he did in the last victory against Pompey, and that kind of roughed them up a little bit. It wasn't perfect. They conceded some chances, but going forward, that was a slightly different look to them, and certainly one that can strike fear into an opponent. So maybe he'll be a little bit more conservative this weekend, but I'm expecting a tough, tough game, low scoring, probably one goal wins it.
Might be the same about the next game we're going to talk about as well, because it's West Brom against Stoke. Hosts hoping to be out of the second tier next season. Visitors desperate to still be in it. West Brom, as we record, still looking for a new head coach after they ended talks with Raphael Wicky. Just had a quick look, Clarky. New favourite for the position, Sean Dyche. Would that make sense to you?
It would, because historically, West Brom have been that kind of team, haven't they, in terms of being direct and playing long balls. Probably had some great times, didn't they, in terms of success with managers like that. So, I could see that. It's whether Sean Dyche would want to do that. He would absolutely regard himself as a Premier League manager. But the truth is, I don't think he's getting a Premier League gig. I don't. Do you? I mean, I think he needs to take a step back here into the FL. And West Bromwich Albion are a big club, aren't they, in the Championship? And they've got really good players. Look at their squad. I mean, it's a well-balanced squad. Probably need a bit more punch up front, even though they've got Josh Madger. But I looked at the bench for the game against Swansea. Mowat, Swift, Fellows, Dean Garner and Devante Cole. They're on the bench. You know, not many Championship teams have players that good that they can afford to put a sub. So I think it's quite an attractive job. They've started scoring at home, by the way. They got 3 against Preston, 2 against Bristol City, 2 against Coventry. So, they're getting there. They're less boring than they were. And I did notice that they've lost just once to Tides below 10th, and Stoke are absolutely below 10th. They've basically been flat-track bullies. They haven't beaten anyone in the top 8. But lost just once to teams below 10th. So, yeah, I'd make West Brom favourites to win this match. Chris Brunt's doing a pretty good job. The only issue is, under Brunt, they've lost a little bit of that defensive steel, or, they're giving more chances away. Basically, they're 4 without a clean sheet. So Stoke will eye that up and see it as an opportunity.
Yeah, Stoke unbeaten, Sam, since Mark Robbins took over, and they got past Sunderland in the FA Cup as well. I guess for him, the priority is to just put as much distance as he can between they and the relegation zone, and then spend the rest of the season working out who he wants and who he doesn't for next year.
Yeah, absolutely. They'll be working hard on the training ground, won't they, I think, to get a bit more of a defined style. Won once away in last 10. So similarly to Sunderland, maybe that's where they need to be a bit more competitive. I was going to save the Nathan Lowe chat for the Walsall section later, but I think it's probably as interesting here. Mark Robbins has obviously recalled the young player from Walsall.
Tell us who you compared him to at the weekend then, Sam. Come on.
No, that was just me being silly. interestingly, someone did make, he can remain anonymous, but someone did say that there was the similarities, maybe not as in terms of the style, a little bit, but I think mentality, Harry Kane was mentioned to me at kind of 18, 19. If you think about where he was, Leyton Orient, Millwall, very much in the infancy, I think he was kind of pointing towards that work ethic and the different strands to his game, which I certainly saw in evidence at the weekend. Dropping really deep, good running with the ball, always on the move around the 18-yard box, and clearly a really good finisher. But I just think football's so selfish. Like, my sentiment at the weekend was how lovely for him to stay there where he's loved at Walsall, get 30 goals, get a championship medal, first year playing. I mean, that is just memories that will stay with you for a lifetime. But Stoke probably have got an opportunity to, A, blood him. He's not probably going to play in front of Tom Cannon at the moment because of the way he's going, but there's the risk of Cannon going, clearly, because he's only on loan. I think there's talk of them maybe bringing another one in as well, Stoke, centre forward. But also, there's the potential of him going there and them getting big money for him as well. So I'm not sure which way Stoke are looking at it. I would presume it's the former. He needs goals, Mark Robbins. Only Argyle have scored fewer. I think they've scored 6 in the last 12 games. Even Luton have managed 9 in that time. So they're pretty desperate in an attacking sense because the defensive numbers aren't too bad, really. They've conceded 32, I think, is it? Well, they're not disastrous anyway, Stoke defensively. So it'll be really intriguing to see how he's used in this game, whether he gets a few minutes. But, I mean, there's no criticism from me to Mark Robbins. I don't know what you think, Clarkey, but it's a bit of a no-brainer, really. He's desperate.
Nick Goodgill, if he didn't, wouldn't it? I mean, can you imagine the criticism he would get if Stoke did go down and you've got this guy on loan who's banged in 30 in League 2 for Walsall and you never recalled him in Jan? I think he kind of had to. He probably knows it's better for the player to stay at Walsall, but he's got to look after his own squad, hasn't he? Look, and for Matt Davis Adams, I just wonder what this means moving forward, whether clubs will come in for your services, Matt, as a scout, because you flagged this incredibly early.
Yeah, it's good of you to mention that. I'm humble enough that I wasn't going to, but yeah, back in August, I believe it was, I tipped this lad for the top, having watched him in a Football League trophy game. As I said last week, even a blind squirrel occasionally stumbles upon a nut, and that was very much me there. Let's head into League One, shall we? Because we've got the Steve Bruce / Jordan Rhodes derby this weekend. It's at Bloomfield Road. Huddersfield going to Blackpool. Huddersfield hanging on to the coattails of the top 3, whilst Bruce's new manager bounce has long since gone flat. They haven't won a home game since the 28th of September, Adrian, and they've won none of their last 6 all comps. 5 draws in there, but he could do with a win.
Yeah, it's a hard one to assess, Blackpool, really. Like you say, the home form definitely has to be better, and it's hard to understand because they've got good wingers, and they play 4-4-2, so they want to get on the front foot and create great chances, but yeah, hasn't happened for them at home. But you can flip it around and say they've lost just once since the 23rd of November, which is quite a long time ago. And that was a late winner scored away at Wrexham. No shame in that. Since then, they've drawn with Birmingham and Wickham. You know, they've shown that they can mix it with any team in the division. Defensively, they've got miles better. Blackpool of late, they've got quite a settled back four. I've noticed. I think they've only conceded four in the last six games, and two of those were pens. So I think they're doing. I think they're doing better than the league table suggests, and I think they've got a chance. I mean, Huddersfield are a very, very good team, but they did beat Huddersfield under Steve Bruce earlier on in the season. That was one of his first games. 1-2-0 there. And what they need is that front two to just fire. Carl Joseph and Ashley Fletcher, two pretty good strikers. You know, who've played at, you know, decent levels. Joseph scored goals, not so many from Fletcher, but he's got potential. They've just brought in Sammy Silvera from Middlesbrough on loan, who had a few games last year for Borough and has been on loan at Portsmouth. Didn't work out there, but that could be a good pickup for them. He's a winger. I just wanted to shout out Lee Evans, really, the central midfielder, experienced player, good player. He's created 72 chances this season, which is way ahead of any other player in League One. He's not someone we talk about a lot. A lot of those are from corners and free kicks. He's their set piece taker. But in open play and from dead balls, he is their go-to guy. I mean, by a million miles, you know, everything seems to come through him. So if he plays well in this game, gets those deliveries right, he got a chance.
Mm. Going to be tough though, Sam, against a Huddersfield side who are unbeaten in the league since they lost four on the spin between September and October. And we've mentioned a few times about them maybe needing another option up front. Well, they got Joe Taylor in from Luton, 10 goals in 19 games on loan at Lincoln last season. So he knows the level. It's tough, isn't it? Trying to, as I mentioned, hang on to the coattails of Wrexham, Wickham and Birmingham, but they're making a decent fist of it.
Not only is he a scout, Clark, he's done the analysis there as well. Move on.
He's got it all, hasn't he?
He's got it all, mate, this geezer. He's wasted. He's wasted hosting. I like Michael Duff because he pulls no punches, Michael Duff.
And, no nonsense, and
And when I covered their game home to Wigan around about a month or so ago, he was kind of going into the game, decent form. Obviously, they're 15 games unbeaten now. And he was bemoaning the lack of goals, really, still. And the lack of clinical edge to his team. They got Callum Marshall, Ladapo, Radulovic, Danny Ward. That's kind of his four that he's rotated. Marshall's got six goals and Ben Wiles has also contributed six from midfield. But Joe Taylor's the one they wanted in the summer and again now. So they're in a really good place. Obviously just 4 points behind Wickham. Statement win last time out at Adams Park. Strong, robust, really organised. You know the shape when it comes to Michael Duff. Now, can Joe Taylor go and do what he did at Lincoln? And a little bit of retribution here, as you both mentioned. But, you know, Blackpool won at Huddersfield in that period where Duff was coming under a little bit of fire. Lost five in six. Since then, they're only looking up. And the eight clean sheets in 15 games show you just how good they are. Without the ball and defensively, can they now be what he's been craving? And that is really potent going the other way.
Well, if Bloomfield goes as well from Wickham, then Huddersfield will certainly feel they can reel them in. It's a case of Birmingham or Wrexham then, isn't it? But yeah, strong team.
Will Luton change the name of the ground to Bloomfield Road? No, of course not. But it would be good if they did. In League Two, there's a priceless game at the Pound Lambescott. League Two leaders Walsall hosting an MK Dons side who are on the slide. Sam, you've seen Walsall very recently. Not to get all Craig David, but can you fill me in?
Yeah, really good. Really good. I left kind of waxing lyrical about the quality of them and other comparables maybe at the level the last few seasons. There's been some exceptional teams last year, but really well-backed teams in terms of Wrexham and Stockport. You go back further, I think of Forest Green Rovers under Rob Edwards in recent times. And this is in my opinion, equally as good, especially when you look at where some of the signings have come from. Tamworth is where Jellis, one of the goal scorers from the weekend, has been signed from. The centre-half Williams came from somewhere in the Midlands region as well, non-league. Really good centre-half. Taylor Allen, left-sided central defender, racking up the assist, lovely left foot. Mm. Then you've got the Irish contingent because of the ownership, Travella. Obviously, they own an Irish club as well. And I remember speaking to Matt Sadler about a year ago about some of the guys that they've plucked from Irish football that have just taken to the EFL like ducks to water. So the recruitment's been really interesting. The structure of the team never changes. The style never changes. I think that's the strength. Someone gets injured. Someone comes in who knows exactly how they want to execute this 3-5-2. Of course, that leads me on to the biggest problem right now is how do they replace the goals of Nathan Lowe. And I'm sure that's something that they would have been planning for. They had Freddie Draper last year, if you remember, on loan from Lincoln, who scored, I think, 10, maybe 11 in the first half of the season. I'm not sure if they're going to revisit that. That would, I'm sure, be an attractive option if they could do that. He would work, I think, alongside Jamil Matt, given that Draper's very mobile. Big guy, bigger than Lowe, but if memory serves, he can stretch, he can work the channels, and he's got an eye for a goal. So if they can get that right, and listen, I'm not saying they're going to fall away now because their cushion is so great and they're such a good team that it'll only need maybe a goal to win the majority of games. They're not going to be as free scoring maybe without the 18 that have just departed. But big January for them, big January. But I couldn't have been more impressed from back to front. This is a terrific, powerful League Two side.
Yeah, if put yourself back in the game as a striker, okay, you're playing PL2 football or you're in the resis at Championship club, you're gagging for this, for a low move to Walsall, aren't you?
It's an easy sell, isn't it?
I mean, this
do you
is
want, do you want to come and win the league?
Yeah. Exactly. Really good players, I think, that are at Premier League clubs that just need a bit of experience. This is perfect for them.
They just had a lad on loan from West Brom centre forward who's gone back. I think he only played three times. I can't get his name, but obviously they'll know everyone. You've got Darren Byfield there, obviously, who, and Matt Sadler, who, you know, played for teams. Sads came from at Birmingham, Darren Byfield, Aston Villa, but live in the area. You've got Gary Waddock there as well, the more experienced kind of first team coach. They'll know all the lads locally, won't they? But it'll be about getting the right one. They've got Danny Johnson as well, who has had really productive spells in Walsall's first team, but he probably doesn't contribute loads outside the 18-yard box. And I think when you've got Jamil Matt up there, and I did him a disservice not mentioning him there in my first answer, because he, and I've said this so many times, is just colossal in League Two football. If you get the right service towards him, he is unplayable, as he showed again at the weekend. And I think the 9 goals this year and his overall contribution has taken everyone a little bit by surprise, because people probably thought his days were numbered, maybe, at the level. His best days were behind him, but he has been sensational and he was brilliant at the weekend. But I think he needs legs around him, someone to run the channels and obviously stretch defences. So I think they'll do one, and fascinating to see who they bring in.
Mm. Reyes Cleary was the player's name. You can remember. So all good in the world of Walsall then, Adrian. You wouldn't say the same about the McDons just now. I said that they are on the slide. Only one win in 6. It was looking so good for Scott Lindsay. What's gone wrong?
It was, yeah. They've had a tough fixture list, actually. But even so, they've lost of late to Gillingham, Newport, Notts County and Salford. They drew a crew. They beat Chesterfield. They've got good forwards, we know that, with Hendry and Gilby and Harrison. They've got Scott Hogan, but none of them are in good goal-scoring form at the moment. Earlier on in the season, you might remember Gilby was smashing them in left, right and centre. Got up to sort of 8 or 9 very quickly. It's dried up a little bit. So, like, Scott Lindsay's sort of bemoaning the finishing at the moment. But for me, when I look at MK, almost a Freudian slip there, MK Dons, I look at the lack of steel, really. Like, they're a good football team, obviously, we know that. I don't know. One clean sheet in 15. Are they robust enough, really? I was looking at some of the numbers, because they've been conceding a lot of shots lately. You know, they have a lot of shots. They concede a lot of shots. I'd look at some of the sort of more aggressive stats. Third fewest tackles in the league. They've won the third fewest amount of duels. They've made the second fewest number of interceptions. They're not great. They're not as great off the ball as they are on it. And I think maybe that's where they need to improve. They've just signed Jay Williams. He'll help from Crawley. They're linked with Dan Crowley from Notts County, which I think is a really interesting one. But yeah, are they tough enough? That's the question for me. I also noticed they've scored very few headers this season. So they're trying, you know, they're great at slipping through balls through, great at the triangles around the box. They're lovely to watch, but are they scoring enough scruffy goals? Are they getting in the ball into the box enough? I think that's probably what they could improve on moving forwards. I wouldn't, given their run of form, you can't really fancy them away at Walsall this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, looks like another win for the home team. Maybe we shall see. That's my prediction for that. Let's get on to our predictions for some other games that are happening. We won't mention our FA Cup predictions because they were all totally wrong. At least Sam put his neck on the line a little bit looking for a proper cup set. Clarkey and I went safe and it didn't work. So let's get back to our regularly scheduled predicting. Adrian, you can have first dibs on the first game. It's Cardiff against Swansea, the big one.
Yeah, cool. Just to give you the score update, Sam's on 39. I'm on 30. Matt, you've clawed it back to 23. So you're in the mix, mate. Right, Cardiff Swansea. Yeah, you feel like it's low scoring day. I mean, this South Wales derby doesn't tend to create that many thrillers. Hand on Cardiff, both in sort of similar form. I just think Swansea are a little bit better, I've got to be honest. So I'm going to back the Swans to win 1-0 in the capital.
0-1. Sam, what do you reckon?
I agree with Clarkey. I was going to go 2-1 Swansea, but I ain't going to go for the same outcome. 1-1, same as the reverse fixture. 1-1.
It's going to be mine. All right, I'll go 1-0 Cardiff. Why not? Mansfield versus Wickham is up next. I'm going to go for, this will shock you, I'm going to go for a 2-0 Mansfield win. Sam, what do you reckon?
You're going disruption, aren't you, in Buckinghamshire, leading into this one. I was going to have a draw there as well, but I'm going to agree with you, Matt, and you're not a threat, so 2-1.
Wow. I can't believe he's gone all tactical. Look, it's January, mate. We don't need to go to the corner flag already. Come on.
You're not a threat. Ouch. What about you, Adrian? You've always been my favourite.
Well, I'll take that. For me, I've just got three scores written down here, but ahead of the score I've predicted, I've got stinks of. In the style of Sam Parkin, stinks of one apiece. Okay. Surprised he didn't go there with that.
Carlisle Bradford last up in League Two. What do you reckon, Sam?
Yeah, I thought we were doing Carlisle. We were not, were they? They've been really busy. They brought in Stephen Wern, who Williamson had at MK Dons. They signed old Paul Dummett, my old teammate from St Mirren, who he'd have known from Newcastle. And John Mellish, regular feature on the pod over the years, has gone to Wigan, which I thought was quite eye-catching as well. So they're going to be busy again. Obviously got new owners, ambitious owners. I have no idea, to be honest. No idea. Can't have another draw, can I? Let's go. Oh, I'm going another draw. 1-1.
Right, I've gone back-to-back home wins so far, so I'm going to give Bradford the points here in a 0-2 victory. What about you, Adrian?
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I've gone for something similar. Yeah, I've gone Carlisle 1, Bradford 2. Bradford are in pretty good form, actually. Carlisle still sort of muddling away, aren't they, towards the bottom end. It's been a tough old season. So, yeah, and this is a tough game. A lot of, you know, be a lot of away fans there. And I can see them celebrating at the final whistle. Yeah, Carlisle 1, Bradford 2.
All right, we'll update you next week with how we got on with that. Before we go, let me remind you once more that our partners, Quinbet, have a new offer. You can now get 50% back up to £35 and 10 free spins. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £35, minimum three bets, plus 10 free online casino spins at Quin Casino. Even if your account is up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet plus 10 free spins, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18 plus for new UK customers only. Visit gamblerware.org for information on responsible gambling. You can find us on X at EFL What The. Leave us a nice review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your pods. That all helps us. Final thing is, of course, Tweet of the Week. And I'm going to surprise the lads here. I've got a 2-for-1. I'll just read this first one out because it wasn't on the list. But that Plymouth video of Miran Muslic's first words to the squads, I really enjoyed this reply from Nick, who said, "I support Leeds. Couldn't give two Fs about Plymouth. But after this 4:41 video I've come across of a bloke I'd never heard of 5 minutes ago, I've just ran through a brick wall, ended homelessness and achieved world peace." That pretty much summed up the mood of most people who'd seen it. But the one that I went for comes from Accrington Stanley's official account. They'd initially posted that you could now pre-order your commemorative at Macron Sports shirt with embroidery, at Bird's Eye UK chicken shop sleeve badge, and at Emirates FA Cup sleeve badge from the retail shop! Priced at £55, the commemorative Macron shirt is only available in adult sizes and is non-returnable. They then quoted it with an envelope emoji. "If you're unable to pre-order your commemorative at Macron Sports shirt with embroidery, at Bird's Eye UK chicken shop sleeve badge, and at Emirates FA Cup sleeve badge from the retail shop, please contact our information team on info@accringtonstanley.co.uk as quickly as possible." One retweet and one like, Clarky, I think tells you all you need to know here. It's a word salad. It's messy. I'm not interested in Bird's Eye UK's chicken shop sleeve badges. What on earth is going on here?
It's a great plug, wasn't it? It was a great plug for the sponsors, for the shirt manufacturer, you know, for all of that. But what this screams to me is obviously a lack of interest. One reply, one retweet, one like. I mean, that is a shocker. They're left with a load of them, aren't they?
They're going to be £55 this time next month.
I think any punters out there that fancy getting hold of one of these commemorative Bird's Eye shirts needs to hold fire. And I think they've got a bucket load of them and they can't shift them. That's my take.
Sam, would they have had more success if they'd gone with a potato waffle rather than a Bird's Eye UK chicken shop? It's not a product I'm familiar with, but there's still plenty of potato waffles in our freezer.
I'm really confused about all of it, to be honest. I'm confused as to what any of it means. Bird's Eye, I'm just thinking fish fingers. Are we not all thinking that?
Potato waffles for me, but the captain also gets a mention. Yeah.
I don't know where chicken comes into this.
So was this a one-off sponsor for the Liverpool game? I think that's the thing. Is that the thinking here, that they had the special shirt for the Liverpool game and now they're desperately trying to offload the ones they got in?
I guess so, yeah.
The shirt's all right, actually. I quite like the collar. And the lads are doing a fine job modelling it, but the tweet is a mess, isn't it?
All right, do better. Andy Holt's had an up and down relationship with Twitter over the years. Don't know if he was responsible for that one, but yeah, not good, Accrington. And why didn't they get Milk to sponsor it anyway? That's the whole gimmick of Accrington Stanley and Liverpool, right? Missed opportunity in my book. Anyway, that'll do it for this week's pod. Join us again next week if you can. Enjoy the football if you're off to a game, and we'll speak to you soon. Bye for now.